Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Well, back in December, we had the wide release of Mulan on Disney Plus, and we had planned an episode to talk about like all the Disney live-action remakes, because there's been quite a few over the years.
Yeah, it's kind of been a kick for them lately, too.
And, a big kick. There's more to come, But we put it off till the new year since we were busy watching all those Christmas movies.
Yes. Hallmark.
Mostly The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah, that too, yes.
And we got all those new announcements.
Yes, we were kind of freaked out about that a little bit.
Most of them were about Marvel, so...
Yeah, we're declaring 2021 the year of Marvel. We keep saying this.
Yeah. So...
Today is the day, this is the week, and we're finally going to discuss the biggest of the recent live-action remakes. We're not looking at older stuff.
Where we have doubles, we're going to pick and choose, like, sequels and things like that.
Yeah.
So we're only looking at one of the 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. Only one of the Maleficents, only one of the Alice in Wonderland.
And Jungle Book has been remade twice.
Yes.
But so we're only looking at the most recent one.
Right,
the original was a really long time ago.
Yeah. Before we get to that, though, Brandon, one of the things we talk about at the top of every show is a nerd thing you're currently into. What nerd thing are you currently into?
Well, as I mentioned on one of the previous episodes, we... got a little bit of an early Christmas present, a VR headset, the Quest 2 VR headset. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but my nerd thing this week isn't just playing with the VR. There was actually a special release from the Defunctland YouTube channel. They've been working on kind of recreating these old defunct rides from Disney's past, mostly. Into a virtual theme park. And they actually released their first ride this past week.
And what was the ride?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea from
Disney World.
Cool. Yeah, they made it in VR. It's pretty neat.
Did you ever get to ride the 20,000 Leagues? No?
No, that's long. Like, it was early 90s when they got rid of it.
I remember it.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember aspects of it. And then more so, I remember going back, you know, 6 years later was the next trip. And being like, where was the ride where you, like, went under the water? Cool. And it was fun?
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice.
It was kind of interesting just exploring VR in a, like, not interactive. You're not shooting anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of experiencing this video, but you can look around. And
I hope they do more for Defunct Land, kind
That's
of.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
With this first one off the ground, I guess it's maybe more likely than
That's
it was
cool.
before. So.
Yeah, that's cool. My nerd thing is actually also a Christmas gift that I'm going to talk about. I actually had many nerd things, but for Christmas... This year, one of the things that I found in my stocking from you, the PS4 game that has a combination of Aladdin and Lion King. Now, I had a Super Nintendo growing up, and those were my two favorite games. Playing them now, I was significantly better as a child than I am now playing them. I have to get back into it a little bit, but it was so fun. I don't want to know how long I spent the one afternoon playing Aladdin. I was just like, oh, this is really cool. Yeah, he has the old style graphics and stuff, but
yeah, it's the classic games from the 16-bit era.
Exactly.
And yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Another thing that we talk about beginning of every episode is what we are drinking. What are you drinking tonight?
Beer.
Shocking. Hockey's back on. Of course you're drinking beer. We just literally just watched a hockey game.
We're recording on Saturday.
Yep.
And every Saturday is hockey night in Canada.
I bet it is. Yeah.
So we're back to that. We finally have a hockey season.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm...
So you needed a beer to go with hockey.
I needed a beer, and I'm drinking two planks from the Past Brewing Company again.
Right, which you talked about, I think, last episode.
Mm.
I'm drinking the exact same thing.
Very good. And very special today. It's actually, this episode is going to release on Krista's birthday.
Yes, it's coming out on Monday.
So happy birthday!
Thank you. Let's celebrate a couple days early, because... We're recording.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Saturday.
It's your birthday weekend.
Birthday weekend.
Yeah.
I am in support of that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I'd give you a birthday week, but then it would run into my birthday.
Yes.
No good.
Our birthdays are exactly 1 week apart, so let's do weekends instead. The other big news that we have a lot of stuff at top of show this time.
Busy time.
Yeah, well, as of today, you can also listen to our podcast on Magic of the Mouse Radio. So this is a brand new thing for us. Yeah. So we're going to discuss that more at the end of the episode, but we just wanted to give a quick shout out to that, and also thank you to everyone who's finding this show through that station.
Hi there.
Also, we've had a few pretty nice reviews.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like that. So I thought I would share one of them. The title was Enjoy, and it was from Wookie's Wife, which is a fantastic name.
Good username,
right?
Yes.
I like that. And it says, so fun to listen to. Feels like I'm on a double date with amazing conversations.
Ooh, who are they dating?
Hmm. I'm going to guess Wookiees, probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would do a Wookiee growl, but I'm not good at that.
Don't do that. I've heard the Wookiee growl impersonation. You can do Yoshi really well.
Yeah, I can
Wookiees,
do Yoshi.
Not so much.
No.
Mm-mm. And then one last quick thing. WandaVision is out. We've had a countdown to WandaVision going on. When we were watching The Mandalorian, we do a quick initial gut reaction, spoiler free, to each episode. We have had two now because they dropped two opening day. Yeah,
they're changing things up.
I know. First two episodes. Brandon, what did you think?
It's pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
I think if you went into it blind, you'd be like, what the heck is going on?
Right.
But we knew it was coming, and it's exactly what it set out to be.
Yep.
Lovely homage to classic television, and it's hilarious.
Absolutely. I absolutely loved it. It would have to be really bad for me not to love it. I love Wanda and Vision so much, and Scarlet Witch is my favorite Marvel character. It was going to be amazing to me anyway. I had so much fun watching it, and I can't wait to watch more and then rewatch the whole season afterwards. Yep.
Cool.
Loved it. All right, so that brings us, finally, to the news. Disney A News Update. Big week for news.
Yeah, it was a busy week.
Got a few items here. First of all, near the beginning of the week, we found out that Disneyland is going to become a major vaccine distribution center.
Excellent.
Yes. When I first told you, you thought maybe Goofy should be giving out vaccines.
Well, he could do one of those how to receive a vaccine videos.
Those things were fantastic.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
I think Baymax might be a better fit.
Oh, yeah. So, I think that's kind of what he was built for.
Yeah, I feel like Goofy might scare some people away, actually. As funny as it would be.
Yeah. Okay,
or do fair. Captain America with those like informational videos
when
that he was doing.
When he sits backwards on his chair.
Hi there. on less of a happy note.
Mm.
Disneyland is officially announced and effective immediately, I believe, is ending their AP program.
Yes, they're giving prorated refunds to everybody that has purchased or even not activated their annual passes. And I mean, this makes a lot of sense. You can't have this hanging over your head as this group that you need to please. They've paid their money and stuff like that when there's going to be super reduced capacity whenever Disneyland does open.
I know that a lot of people were really upset about this. And I can understand that, you know, you feel like you're losing something. And
this has been around for 40 years.
Yep. And in a year, well, yeah, 12 months anyway, where a lot of people have lost a lot. They're like, but I was holding on to this. That one day I'd get to go to Disneyland. They're not saying you're not going to get to go to Disneyland.
They're going to have another membership program, whatever form that takes.
They have flat out said that.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to lean more towards the whole reservation system the Flex Pass was.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, capacity is a thing, whether there's a pandemic or not. They want to start charging more people.
I feel like they were wanting to move towards that anyway, and the introduction of the Flex Pass was the first step towards that. Disneyland has a unique identity, and it can be a problem, or it can be something awesome.
Well, it's something that you hold on to, for sure.
Yes, with its focus, it's really the most significant park to do this, that the AP program plays such a big role.
Yeah.
Most of the visitors to the parks on any given day are annual pass holders of some variety. You still obviously have your travelers and things like that. Whereas Disney World does have some APs and most of them are travelers. It's the opposite in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're not going to do an annual pass program.
No, they'll have something.
Right.
It'll be a good deal.
Yeah. But when they want to, when they'll open up, they'll maybe open up at 25% capacity or 30% capacity or something like that. And you just can't do that when, you know, on any given maxed out day, 70% of the people there are APs.
you
can't do it.
And you can't judge when they're going to come or
exactly.
not. Like, they haven't paid for that specific day, but they could show up.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, yeah, it's troublesome
it would
for
be
management.
Troublesome. Yeah, it would be troublesome, like you said, without a pandemic going on. That just adds a whole nother space to it. Now, a lot of the critiques I've heard have said, well, it's going to be a money grab because, you know, other people pay more money.
Disney would never do a money grab.
I don't know that they would necessarily be thinking to insult annual pass holders, though. Like, it's not like that. I think there's a business model that's going on.
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, I think maybe the annual pass holders in Disneyland have gotten a little entitled.
That is a concern that I have read about as well.
They have special merchandise. They have special popcorn buckets.
To be fair, if I was an annual pass holder, I would appreciate all those things. Sure. Though, and you're like, paying for it.
You take care of your loyal customers, yes, obviously. Yes. But the fact that some people will go to Disneyland for 2-3 days and spend more than what it costs to get an annual pass, just because of your location proximity to it, doesn't mean that you're better than the person that's paying even more money.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, just as us as travelers, we were actually looking at possibly purchasing
it. Yes, we were not 100% sure, but I was definitely over 50% sure that we were going to be doing that.
It was a thought. And, like, it was such a good deal that it made sense for us living a 3.5 hour flight away.
Flight, yes, exactly.
To do, because we could go a couple times a year and it would save money.
It, yeah. Mm-hmm. I could understand them wanting to replace it with something different. They're not going to not do anything.
It's, at the end of the day, a business.
And I mean, we are huge Disney fans. That's also part of like our identity and things like that. So I can only imagine APs.
Mm-hmm.
Something else will come along that will replace it will transition better. I will say one more thing. I know I've talked about this news item for a while, but I'll say one more thing about this. I think it's actually a sign that the parks are going to open sooner than people think.
Yeah, because the 25% number that you mentioned comes from like the recommendations for the government. They're saying that Disneyland will not open before numbers go way down, and it will only open at 25%.
Right.
So
I don't think they would have done anything with it until they had to. And they have to before they can open. I'm not saying it's going to do tomorrow or anything, but I think that it is a positive sign as far as opening.
You can't open and operate with thousands and thousands of AP holders like waiting and wanting to go and taking up the entire real estate.
Well, and then the other problem is that Disney World saw is they gave first crack at it, yes, to the AP holders and also to people who already had tickets. Us speaking personally, we have tickets, but there's no way we could do it to fight off all the AP members.
Mm.
And that's nothing, you know, necessarily against them, but it is supposed to be for everyone.
Yeah.
And when you're only operating at 25%, then it's no longer for everyone if they have this program.
You would run into problems, I think.
Yeah, logistically.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you had a news item.
Yeah, so another big Disney item is that they've had an exclusive license for the Star Wars property in video games.
Yes.
With Electronic Arts. Electronic Arts is a little bit of problematic. They're very money hungry.
Hmm. I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, lots of loot boxes and microtransactions and stuff. Yeah, anyway, people have not been happy with Electronic Arts.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't really blame them. But a couple of announcements this week. There was an old video game company called LucasArts.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of got folded in when Lucasfilm sold. Like, it was part of that.
Right, okay.
So they kind of rolled it into all these other publishers like EA. They recently announced, like, last week, that they're going to bring back LucasArts in the form of Lucasfilm Games. And they're no longer exclusively licensing Star Wars to EA.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the big announcement was that they're making an Indiana Jones game. And that looks pretty cool. It's from Bethesda is the big producer on that one.
Okay.
They've made games like Skyrim.
Oh, okay.
The Fallout games.
Oh, okay. Big ones.
Yeah, big ones. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
You know what I'm excited for that you sent me the link to? It's supposed to take place in Rome.
Mm.
And Rome is one of my favorite places in the world, so I'm curious to see what Indy does in Rome.
There could be some good MacGuffins in Rome, I'm sure. It was a pretty cool city when we visited there. Yeah,
I remember getting to travel.
Yeah, way back in the day. And then they also announced that they're going to make a open world Star Wars game.
That's cool.
With Ubisoft.
Cool.
Which makes the Assassin's Creed games. They're giving it to the developer that made The Division, which was kind of like a little shooty game where you looted guns and stuff. So I don't know what kind of form it's going to take, but my guess is it's going to be based on a bounty hunter.
weird.
That would be my guess.
A shooting game in Star Wars that they base on a bounty hunter. I can't imagine why they do that. Yeah. It's not like they've had a lot of success with
and you
bounty
can
hunter characters.
You upgrade your Beskar armor and stuff. Yeah, oh, it's perfect. It's
super
built in.
Fun. So, and we don't have any dates or anything like that.
No,
okay?
This is very early stuff. So
announcing that it's going to be worked on kind of thing. Cool.
Disney Plus and chill.
Okay, so what we're doing today is we're going to chat about 13 of the live action films.
13?
13 of them. I know it's an unlucky number, but you know, we're quite positive. Even the news that was kind of negative, we're finding nice positivity to it, right?
I think so, yeah.
So we're going to talk about them in order of release date, I think.
That's a good plan.
Just a little bit of chatter, reaction, and stuff like that. And then at the end, let's just pick our favorite.
Can I pick my least favorite also?
Sure.
Okay.
So in order of release date that we're going to be talking about, our first live-action remake is 1996 101 Dalmatians.
Whew, that was a long time ago. Watching this movie, it seemed like a longer time ago.
Right.
It seemed like maybe early 90s, not late 90s or middle 90s. Like, woof.
I remember watching this and I really liked it, actually, when I watched it in 1996, probably. Watching it again now, I was like, oh, this did not age well. I mean, we are spoiled because the fantastic level of computer animation and things that we have now, which we'll see later on in the live action list. But I can take that with a grain of salt. There's other things that came out in the 90s, even the early 90s, that were computer animated that looked better than some of the computer animated segments in this movie.
Yeah, it is not good computer animation. No.
I also would like to point out that maybe you should not get married to someone you just met because of your dogs.
It's not the best way to meet someone. I mean, it's good they have shared interests, Dalmatians,
yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. But yeah, that courtship was more out of line than some of the princess movies.
Well, even the animated one alluded to like
a passage of time.
Yeah, seemed like it was a passage of time. Like, it doesn't show them, you know, meeting and then, hey, we should get married. It's them meeting and they're laughing and stuff, and you're like, you don't think it's the same day?
No.
The biggest problem I had with 101 Dalmatians is I think it had an identity crisis.
Well, yeah, it was a schizophrenic movie as far as I'm concerned.
Right? Like, it had a lot of slapstick, and you made the point that it seemed like it was trying to go off of for Dumb and Dumber because
Jeff Daniels. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was almost like a three-part movie.
Right.
You had this weird romantic, shortened romantic comedy thing with slapstick humor, very mid-90s type of thing. And then you had this weird Tim Burton-esque fashion middle part where Cruella is actually being the Devil Wears Prada before the Devil Wears Prada existed.
Very Devil Wears Prada vibes.
And then it moves on into this weird prequel to the Santa Paws. And it's all really bad computer animated dogs talking. They didn't actually talk in this one.
No, they barked.
They barked, which was even awkward, more awkward than if they had talked with their computer animated mouths.
So not a fan.
No.
This is what I will say about this movie. Glenn Close plays Cruella.
Oh, yeah.
She has a blast doing
she,
it.
She chews on all this furniture and scenery. I was thinking furniture because of the dogs.
Right.
But she chews on the scenery.
Oh, yes.
Which is the actor term. Yes.
Not chewing on the furniture.
Well, they might chew on the furniture.
Maybe.
I don't know.
She had a great time and was a lot of fun to watch. It was what it was.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So we did mention that a couple times we actually had to double check that Tim Burton did not make this movie.
There was some very Burton-esque shots in this one.
But the next one that we're going to talk about, he did.
He did,
Alice in Wonderland.
They got him back. Well, we learned in the documentary about The Nightmare Before Christmas, which he had very little to do with, but he came up with the idea while as an animator at Disney Studios.
Didn't quite fit into Disney very
no,
well.
No, his ideas were a little out there, and they didn't care for that. And then years later, they're like, whoops, we made a mistake.
Yes, they got him to work with them again. With a couple different properties. One of which in 2010, Alice in Wonderland. What did you think about this one?
I remember when this came out, mm-hmm. and it was in the height of the Avatar-generated 3D craze, and you had to go see Alice in Wonderland in this post-processed 3D monstrosity, because 3D was so cool, mm-hmm. and I actually do. I like 3D, but it needs to be done in the right way, not slapped together after the fact and have Johnny Depp being all weird, and the plot is boring. And Helena Bonham Carter's face is all... I don't like it.
It's not fun disconcerting. It's disconcerting.
Yeah, no.
I will say...
I promise I will be more positive in this list later.
I don't believe you.
Well, not a ton.
More positive than this.
Yes.
Okay. Low bar.
It's not that I hate all these movies. They're just...
No, they're just... very good. Yeah. There are a couple things I liked about this. First of all, I love Johnny Depp. And this is definitely not my favorite movie that he is in. But, yeah, it was fine. I do like the novel, Alice in Wonderland. And this felt very true to the novel.
Hmm.
And I'm not necessarily saying, like, the plot is the same, because it's certainly not. The animated was closer that way. But the feel of it was very similar to that.
And this wasn't done as a remake. It was kind of done as a weird sequel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kind of a bit different, which is good. But I don't know. I just 2010's Tim Burton has kind of gone long in the tooth for
me. Not my favorite Tim Burton. Speaking of ones that weren't quite live action remakes, they were just kind of different. Maleficent came out in 2014. We did talk about this a little bit in our Halloween ranking episode for Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. But I thought Angelina Jolie did a great job.
Yeah.
I love the idea of let's give the villain a good backstory. I'm incredibly excited, which I'll talk about later, for the Cruella movie as an example of let's give a villain a backstory.
I don't know how you can get me sympathetic about Cruella de Vil, though.
Yeah, fair. Probably, we should rank villains one day, but I think the second actually worst horrible villain. Second worst.
Do not care for her motives. No, sir.
I do like this giving a villain a voice or a backstory and stuff like that. I like a sympathetic villain. I don't like a villain that is just like a good guy.
Yeah.
Then it's not a villain anymore.
No, it's silly.
And I know some people loved this movie.
It's fine. And I think the worst part of it is what they did to the fairies, though.
Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether.
Yeah.
Agreed. They were very cool in the animated one, and they're bumbling
idiots
in this one. Yeah, not a fan.
And they have the tiny head thing again.
Like... you have trouble with head proportions,
yes!
Don't you? Anything to add from Maleficent, or should we move on?
No, I think that's
Okay,
good.
Cinderella came out the following year in 2015. As you can see, now we're coming like one or two a year, basically, for the rest of them.
Yeah, well, they discovered that they could make some money doing this.
And Maleficent, I remember when Maleficent came out and everyone was talking about it. Okay, so Cinderella comes out in 2015. What did you think about this one?
Well, guess who directed it?
Who directed this one?
Kenneth Branagh, who we talked about in our Marvel.
Yes, we did.
This was another movie that he did, and it was interesting. Like I've said before, we like it when they do something a little different.
Yes.
And this one kind of like, what if Cinderella was actually like a Regency piece where they explore that whole world of protocols and things like that with the layer of the Cinderella story in there?
You know what I liked most about this movie? I like that they tried to give Cinderella a little bit more depth to it.
And the prince.
And I like that they met before the ball.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked the most is they changed the story. So instead of her father dying when she was a little girl and then like growing up with a stepmother, it was more, even though years had passed, it was still like she was a young woman and she had her memories were more intact and they were more recent and things like that. As well as you got to see the stepmother slowly build up the abuse, quite frankly, of Cinderella. So it was more believable. Cinderella's stepmother is a horrible, horrible villain. She was more sympathetic in this movie because you got to see, like, she actually had some heartbreak before that. So she turned cold and then she was jealous of Cinderella's relationship with her father and all of these different things. She was a little bit more believable.
Like, you didn't cheer for her, but you could understand that she's not just evil for evil's sake.
Okay, so a lot of the classic Disney princesses, which I will talk about in our decades episodes, I'm sure, when we get to them, have this problem with being incredibly passive. Two of them are literally passed out.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Right? And Cinderella...
Consent is important.
Right? So Cinderella is one of the ones that are in there. I still love the movie, and it's not just because, you know, I have a thing for shoes and appreciate that. It is beautifully animated. I love the movie. Love Cinderella. It's classic princess. But they actually gave her, like, this have courage and be kind. It's like, it takes bravery sometimes to do this.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. So, yeah. So that was Cinderella 2015. The Jungle Book from 2016.
Hey, guess who we have here?
Who do we have here?
Jon Favreau.
Yeah. Oh, so this is another Vince Vaughn. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, he comes in to he comes in to save this early endeavor of live action remakes.
He's just saving things all over the place.
He is. Well, I mean, Maleficent was a good Angelina Jolie vehicle, and people were happy mm-hmm. with that, I guess. But yep. Cinderella, I think fell flat. Like.
I think it did okay, but it certainly didn't live up to anyone's expectations.
Yeah, it was,
The only, like, oh, Helena Bonham Carter was in Cinderella. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I don't think it made the money they wanted it to make. Bring in Jon Favreau.
Yeah, and, I mean, The Jungle Book is prime for a remake.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't aged super well. I mean, there's some racial issues in there.
Yep.
And it just isn't really a movie. Like, it's kind of like bits and pieces that are strung together. It's kind of right. weird that way.
So I like the Jungle Book animated one. It's quite short is another one of its problems. Not doesn't flow very well. I think the editing was a problem in the animated. This one had some great moments. I know one of your favorite moments that you had to point out to me is who voices King Louie?
Well, that's Christopher Walken, of course.
And what's the really cool moment?
Well, so Mowgli gets kidnapped by the apes and monkeys and everything, mm-hmm. and he gets taken to King Louie's temple.
Yes.
And King Louie has this big pile of treasures and whatnot.
Right.
But on top is very prominent a cowbell,
uh-huh.
which, of course, Christopher Walken was on Saturday Night Live, yep. and he always wanted more cowbell.
Yes. Yeah. That was pretty fantastic. I didn't remember that Christopher Walken voiced King
yeah,
Louis.
So I'm killing myself laughing.
And I'm like, what is your problem?
What is your problem? And so I had to explain it. But then you liked it as well.
Well, and then as soon as he starts talking, I was like, oh, I could have just waited.
Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, so this one had some cool choices made. King Louis, of course, caused massive. And I like that because things are through the perspective of this boy.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was raised by wolves, so mm-hmm. kind of has a skewed perspective of the world. Unreliable narrator.
Unreliable narrator is my literary terminology there. But I also, of course, noticed that they changed the ending.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Apparently this go back and be with your own kind thing.
Maybe not the right message.
Not the right message, yeah. So even though he goes into the village, it's to steal fire to save his home.
And his friends that he grew up with. And
exactly.
Et cetera.
Exactly. And the whole purpose behind them moving him, well, this was also in the animated one, was to keep him safe. It wasn't, we want to keep you safe, so you have to go back with your own kind. It was, we want to keep you safe, and they can protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So... You think that one was a good one for a remake, eh?
I think it was prime for a remake, and it was well done.
Yeah.
And Bill Murray as Baloo is...
Bill Murray was fantastic as Baloo. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so same year, 2016, we have Pete's Dragon comes out. And this one was tough to include because Pete's Dragon was half animated and... Well, it was a live action originally with an animated dragon.
Yeah.
So we were like, ooh, do we include this or not? We decided to because Pete's Dragon, the original, is what I think is one of the most underrated Disney movies. I love that movie.
Yeah, it says you. I don't know.
I love that movie. Anyway, so we decided to include Pete's Dragon. They changed this one quite a bit. Changed most of the story.
They went for a gritty reboot. Well, that's what it was.
I mean, they had
this horrible car accident at the beginning.
Yeah.
And the dragon is much more realistic than a little weird animated cartoony dragon.
Yeah. They modernize it, put it in American forest as opposed to the seashore, and there's not a lighthouse. Instead, it's a ranger cabin. And yeah, it's very different.
It was boring.
It was, yeah.
I liked the beginning, but then it drag on for way too long. I don't know. There wasn't much of a whole heck of a lot of a plot.
Well, there was a plot, and there was a lot of stuff that happened, but you know who I think the best part of that movie was Robert Redford as old man.
Crazy old man, yeah. Robert Redford.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite characters, was Mickey Rooney did that in the original.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I kind of like the idea. I don't think it was executed well, and I vastly prefer the original.
But hey, Bryce Dallas Howard was in there, got her hooks into Disney, and was able to direct a couple episodes of The Mandalorian.
Hey, nice. There you go. There you go. I like it. Okay, so after We Have Pete's Dragon... The one I remember being most excited for when it first came out, 2017, Beauty and the Beast. What do you think?
Yeah, no. Well, so maybe my perception's a little color to this because we watched it on a plane with the little TV. And I think this is a wholly useless waste of time. If you're going to watch Beauty and the Beast, just watch the animated one.
We're gonna get angry messages.
This one is worse in every way. They add a couple songs that are terrible.
Wow. You are harsh on the...
Yes! I do not like this movie.
I was so excited for this. I love Emma Watson. She's actually a book nerd, so playing the Disney book nerd was fantastic.
She does an admirable job, if I can untwist my tongue on that word. But... It's a tough one to do, and I don't know.
Okay, so you kind of alluded to this before, but I know you mentioned it a lot when we were watching these. You don't have necessarily a problem with live action remakes if it's for a movie that is ripe for a remake. If you have a fantastic movie already that hasn't, you know, had problems with aging or anything like that, don't remake it. At least not yet.
Yeah.
And Beauty and the Beast...
Or try to do something different.
Or try to do something,
If you're recreating the musical like this one,
mm-hmm.
and Lion King,
mm-hmm.
and Little Mermaid's mm-hmm. coming out, mm-hmm. and Aladdin, all those, it's tough.
So
it's really tough.
The other big problem is, like, you have your classic Disney movies, and then you have the Disney Renaissance, and the Disney Renaissance is the epitome of Disney for a lot of people, and especially people our age
that... straddle the line between Gen X and Millennial.
Exactly.
Those people grew up on the Disney Renaissance.
Exactly. And so if you're going to touch the Disney Renaissance, do it fantastically. I am not as hard on this movie as you are because I enjoy the parts that they added, that added more detail about, like, Belle's mom. And there are some parts, though, where I felt condescended to. Namely, I like the fact that they really played up on how smart Belle is and how she's ostracized for this. At the beginning, do you remember when she's, like, figuring out the way to wash the clothes and, like, invents something? And then everyone gets mad and they're like, oh, girl, can't do that. I think I've made it pretty clear in this podcast for those of you who have listened before. I'm a bit of a feminist, and so you would think I would really like that.
Yeah.
It felt so shoehorned in, and then, like, it belabored it.
Oh, yeah.
That I was, like, I felt like it was pandering.
Fake woke culture.
But just before that, or just after that, she was, like, helping a little girl read.
Yeah.
And that
that's
fit.
Better, yeah.
And so I was like, ooh, that's good. Oh, that other part isn't so
awkward.
They were doing some good things but fell apart in other places. So yeah, I love that Josh Gad was in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
he was fun.
He's fantastic.
LaFou.
Yes, they approached LGBTQ+ characters in this one.
Kinda in the background.
I said they approached it.
Yeah. That makes it almost worse. Like,
well, that's not for us to say.
No, but like, I don't know.
Maybe it's kind of like how I felt as a woman watching it. I was like, oh, I feel condescending.
Exactly. Yeah. It felt a little condescending. I don't know. I think it would be better if it was more.
Oh, yeah. Like, or just like a more natural couple
kind of
thing. Yeah. Although I do think LeFou's devotion to Gaston makes more sense if he has a
mm-hmm.
like a crush on him.
Maybe.
Or love them
or
whatever. 2018, we have something different.
Yes.
We have Christopher Robin.
I also watched this one on a plane.
Yes. I rewatched it on the plane with you, but I actually saw this one in theaters.
I kind of like this. I wish it had been better.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot of the parts of it. Some of the nostalgia for Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh's like one of my favorite stories. Yeah.
But then it kind of falls apart plot-wise for me. I don't know. It could have been better, and I really wanted to like it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you one thing here. I liked it better the second time I watched it than the first. So maybe you need to watch it again. I love Ewan McGregor.
Yes.
And he's in it. And he's fantastic. He's just great. Fun. I've never seen anything that I don't like.
Yeah, he's a good actor, and he gets into...
And he's going to be Obi-Wan again.
He is going to be Obi-Wan.
So he's Christopher Robin and Obi-Wan. It's fantastic.
Well, maybe Christopher Robin grows up to be Obi-Wan.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. I like the style they went with the... like Winnie the Pooh characters.
Yes.
It was closer to the books.
I remember the still shots before this movie came out, and they all looked creepy as heck.
Yeah.
But the actual movie itself is not creepy at all. Like,
no.
Like, it works really well. That animation style mm-hmm. just didn't work in the still shots.
No, I like this one. I could have liked it more.
Yeah.
I felt, again, like the pacing was weird.
It was weird pacing, and yeah, it was almost a really good movie. And it's kind of sad that it was only almost.
Okay. I would watch it again. Next year, it's like at least one a year, except 2019 happens. We had three.
Yeah, well, they were just ramping up.
Uh-huh.
And then that train got derailed.
Yep. Okay, so first we had Dumbo.
Hmm. Back to Tim Burton.
Back to Tim Burton. And it's quite Tim Burton.
Oh, yes. I kind of like this to retell the story from the human perspective.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different that way.
Right.
And then you had the whole Tim Burton take on Disneyland stuffed in there.
Right.
So I enjoyed this. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. We're going to talk about Dumbo in our next decades.
The original, yeah.
And I do think this is a good example of how you could do a remake. It's changing the way you tell the story. It's staying true to the feel of the story. But it's also picking something that was done a long time ago.
Yeah, they didn't have the crows in the remake.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, probably.
They actually didn't have any, like, although they had a mouse that was kind of dressed like Timothy, there wasn't really that character.
That was a nod.
Exactly,
to,
it was just a nod.
Yeah.
I love the way they did the music in this. But Dumbo is, if not the shortest, like very close to the shortest Disney movie. I think it's only just over an hour.
Right.
And so it seems like something that they could have explored more, and then so it makes sense to have a live action for this.
Exactly. It wasn't retreading the movie or
mm-hmm.
just singing the same songs again that you loved the first time, so mm-hmm. you're going to want to listen to them the second mm-hmm. time. Like,
yep.
Yeah. It wasn't the most fun movie I've ever seen, but I don't know. I didn't feel like I had wasted my time watching
it either.
You weren't
super disappointed watching this one. Yeah. I know you were super disappointed watching some of the other ones.
Yeah.
All right. But so, you know, all right. And I like the Tim Burton style, and so I did appreciate that. Okay. Aladdin, same year, 2019.
Poof. Busy.
Oh, we're just getting started.
So this is really, really difficult because Aladdin probably shouldn't be remade. I mean, that story's been told
mm-hmm.
1,001 times.
Yep.
But the Disney version with the songs and the everything, you didn't want to remake that. Like, Will Smith had the hardest job in Hollywood trying to follow Robin Williams.
Okay. And every time I see, like, a live version with a genie,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, he's doing a really good job. And you don't quite compare him to Robin Williams. But in film version...
Yeah, it's a film version. It's tough. And the live action ones can, like, break the fourth wall a little bit. But this was basically a shot-for-shot remake.
It was pretty close.
A lot of things just didn't work the second time.
Okay, so I'm going to speak in defense to this brief little bit. I like that they tried to give more depth to Jasmine.
Yes.
Because
they tried. They tried.
Yeah.
They tried real hard.
The Disney Renaissance actually had, they played with the idea of having, anyway, some nice female characters. The princesses weren't so passive. But animated Jasmine, she's one of the great princess lines. When they're talking, she comes out and she's like, I'm not a prize to be won. Like, back off, dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aladdin actually has to win her. Again, part of it felt like pandering.
Yeah, like...
Although it was much more natural than Belle.
This was fine. I didn't like her added song.
Actually, I liked her added song.
I
you know what her song is there for? Her song is there for...
Put me asleep?
No, her song is like, it's a super dramatic Broadway style for 12-year-old girls to belt out the same way Part of Your World was in the animated Little Mermaid, and Jasmine is one of the only princesses who doesn't have a song.
Yeah.
The closest thing to her song...
She should have written a better one. Then.
Well, the whole closest thing to her song was A Whole New World, which half more than half of it is sung by a man.
Yeah.
Giving her a song, I was totally on board for. I actually don't dislike the song. I like the song fine. I felt the whole movie was unnecessary.
Oh, well, I mean...
And I think they were all fine. Will Smith was the best part of the movie.
He surprised the heck out of me.
I was not expecting
it. I was like, oh, poor Will. And then, no, he...
However, still, oh, poor Will. There was no way he was going to win this one.
No. The guy who plays Aladdin was very wooden to me. I liked the actress that played Jasmine. I thought she did an excellent job.
I think the weak link here is Aladdin.
Yes. He was not leading.
And Jafar, actually.
Yeah, no, Jafar was awful, but he's at least a villain, so you can kind of...
No, Disney has great villains.
Yeah.
And Jafar was a great villain.
Jafar is a good villain, but I...
And they added more. I felt it needed to be shorter.
Mm-hmm.
It dragged on a little bit.
We did not need Bollywood dancing
numbers. I actually liked that because it was bringing that in. You know what? When we talk about Mulan, it was doing the same thing in Aladdin, right?
I get they needed something to try and differentiate itself rather than...
Yeah, and I had no problem with that.
Still too long.
If you're adding that in, though, you need to take something else out. Okay, 2019 still.
Yeah.
Speaking of remaking Disney Renaissance movies, The Lion King. John Favreau again.
Yep. Well, I mean, they had all the animated stuff from Jungle Book ready to go.
Right, so ready to go.
You can just flip those assets right into Lion King. I'm sure it was that easy.
100%. They changed the color. They made him from Bagheera to Simba, and they're fine.
Yeah.
That's not
easy.
I don't think that's at all.
No, not at all. The animation in this film is gorgeous.
This film made a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everybody loves Lion King.
Right. It is beautiful, is it not? Like, that is crazy how...
Well, partway through the movie, I made the joke, how do they train the lions to do this? But, I mean, you could tell it's computer animated, but you have to, like, really pay attention.
You know, you can tell it's computer animated if you have zero suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching, though, and your brain just, like, flips into it when it's a good movie. It doesn't take you out. Like, 101 Dalmatians takes you out. It, like, slaps you across the face going, I'm computer-generated. That's the weakest computer-generated one we have on this list. Also, the oldest.
Not fair to them, but...
Exactly. Like, you're comparing it with... You're comparing 1996 with 2019, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, Lion King? Yeah, that's not a thing. Like, you're just in that world.
Mm-hmm. No, it's great. But, I mean, this suffers from the same problem that we've talked about. Why would I watch this movie when I can watch the original?
Good things about this movie, they got James Earl Jones to come back.
Wow, who else are you going to get?
I'm kidding. There is one Mufasa.
That would be a tough one.
Yeah, they did not get Jonathan Taylor Thomas to come back as Simba.
No, I actually like Simba's voice better.
Oh, I like this Simba's voice. I like 90s Simba's voice.
But you could tell he had more of an African voice.
Yes, true.
And I thought that fit. I mean, not that lions have a real voice, but...
No, but it fit the setting.
Fit. And
the
he had a good singing voice and everything, so it was good.
It was not quite as disjointed between speaking and singing.
Yeah.
That's always the joke with Lion King. I like Zazu.
Yes, John Oliver as Zazu.
We really like John Oliver.
Perfect casting. It fit very well. His mannerisms are already there. So,
well, he jokes
great.
That he's the bird all the time.
Right, exactly.
Timon and Pumbaa, I thought, were great.
Yes.
You know what the best part of this movie was, though? It was Baby Pumbaa.
Baby Pumbaa. So, I have a bit of a theory here.
Yeah, okay.
This is, of course, directed by John Favreau.
Mm-hmm.
We had Baby Pumbaa. Very, very, very adorable.
Yes.
This is where he thought of the idea for Baby Yoda. It's a direct line to Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda showed up, like, very shortly after this.
Exactly.
Oh.
That's where he got the idea.
I mean, like, weeks.
Not weeks.
A couple months.
Yeah.
Because this came out in 2019, I think,
He
spring.
Obviously made Lion King first.
Like, a long time ago, and then while he was working on that...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He is a man of many talents, but he's probably not shooting a feature-length film and shooting
Well, that's what I was thinking. How
show,
on earth is
yeah.
this going? So, Baby Pumbaa led to Baby Yoda.
100%.
Okay. Okay. You're standing by that one?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the awe factor?
Exactly. Yeah. And the ears. He's got similar ears.
Okay. I like it. I like this. What else do you have to say for Lion King?
Well, 100% unnecessary. Good voices. The best joke in the movie is when they start singing Be Our Guest.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That made it worth it there.
Instead of doing the luau, you start doing Be Our Guest. And then Red just starts screaming and running.
I also did like that Pumbaa got to say farted because...
You're not going to stop me.
No,
you're on your own.
that was really good.
I did like Timon and Pumbaa a lot.
Oh. They were the best part of the movie.
Actually, okay. An example of... Let's give... A character that probably should have a little more screen time. Actually a little more screen time. They gave Nala some actual conversation and she got to go off on her adventure.
Well,
was
I mean,
there
you're
lots?
Not...
No, but in the movie she just shows up when she's like, oh, I left to go look for things.
Hi, I'm pretty now.
Right? Well, there you got to see the dynamic with the other lionesses and things and like the desperation that she was led to.
Yeah, you're not going to cast Beyonce and give her a bit part.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. So that didn't feel like pandering to me.
No, it was good. Yeah.
I mean, of course, it wasn't as significant as like a leading lady kind of thing.
No,
but
I always thought, I have always looked at Lion King and gone, the female lionesses should be more active because that's how they would be in the real world. They should get credit.
Yeah. Beautiful movie. And they add a lot of other creatures from in the glen where Timon and Pumbaa and Simba live.
Yes.
Yeah, and I like that they extend the song The Lion Sleeps Tonight and have like an actual whole thing with it. Mostly I think Seth Rogen just wanted to sing The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
He was having a lot of fun.
He was having so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so after Lion King then we have Lady and the Tramp. This was released with Disney Plus.
Yes.
Or was it immediately following?
It was like a launch title, maybe later that week.
Okay.
I think it was a launch title for
Lady and the Tramp. So again, 2019.
I was going into this movie expecting to just absolutely hate it.
Yeah, I was not in a hurry to watch this movie at all.
I don't love animals talking computer animated style. I think it looks silly. I'd rather have the Incredible Journey style.
Homeward Bound,
The Incredible Journey. Where it's just their thoughts.
Yeah. The camera zooms on them. Their mouths don't move, but you can hear their thoughts. That makes sense.
But, like, 5 minutes into this movie, I kind of forgot about it. Like,
yeah.
the animation was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And Lady and the Tramp's old enough that I didn't, like, feel like it was a complete waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a solid, good, not amazing, but good for me. I thought the same thing. The mouths moving bother me less than you, but I still don't like it.
Mm.
And I was able to remove myself from that.
Yeah, you forget about it.
It was natural enough animation that it didn't feel like that. I have watched Lady and the Tramp quite frequently. And so it was so close that the differences were like a little, like threw me a little bit.
Mm.
But it wasn't enough to take me totally out of the story. I like that the humans had like a little bit more to them. But at the same time, that's one of the charming things about actual Lady and the Tramp.
Well, yeah, because it's from the dog's perspective, and yeah, I don't know. They treaded that line a little better than 101 Dalmatians.
Yes,
but
it was fine.
Mm.
No,
the dogs were cute.
The dogs were cute.
I loved all the dogs.
Okay, and then the last one, the thing that started us off on this whole conversation, Mulan. Okay, so Mulan comes out. This is also a Disney Plus release. Was not intended to be a Disney Plus release.
No. You had to pay big bucks to see this on Disney Plus originally.
Mm-hmm.
For the first, what, it was 6 months of release?
Yeah, something
pretty
like
close.
That.
Oh, no, okay. September 4th. So it would have been 3 months.
Okay.
3 months that it was a premium title on Disney Plus.
30 bucks,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it was American or Canadian because we did not pay it.
We did not. And when they first started advertising and you had the sneak peeks of this movie, it was one that I was actually like, oh, I'm actually excited to see this. The live actions, with the exception of Beauty and the Beast, I haven't been super excited to see.
Right.
Oh, and I did Christopher Robin. I was fairly excited to see.
Well, that did look pretty cool. Yeah.
This one was one, oh, I really want to see this one. And I do want to explain, Mulan was not my favorite Disney animated movie. I liked it fine, but it wasn't near as well done, or maybe it just wasn't as important to me as, say, like Beauty and the Beast was, or I love Pocahontas. I know you don't, but those movies were my favorite growing up, even or the classics like Cinderella and Pinocchio. Like, I love those movies. And Mulan, I like. I wasn't as in love with it, and it didn't have a huge part with me, so I wasn't as concerned with them remaking this as I have been with some of my favorites.
Yeah, I think we were both too old for Mulan.
Yeah, just like,
and yeah, it was not part of the Disney Renaissance. No. That either ended with or after Pocahontas.
I'm saying it's after Pocahontas,
depending on who you ask.
You know what? Honest trailers, people agree with me.
No, Pocahontas.
Love Pocahontas,
but yeah, no, Mulan was kind of silly. I wasn't too worried about them remaking it, and all the trailers made it look like it was going to be this sweet kung fu movie.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of elements of the kung fu and trying to pay homage to that. And I don't know. It would have been better if it was more of that, because those parts I absolutely loved.
Right.
When they do full kung fu fighting, like wire climbing up walls.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the witch character was very interesting.
I really like her.
Yeah.
Like, from a literary perspective, I really enjoy her.
Yeah, she's a cool villain.
Like, talk about a villain that is, like, a round character that has some depth to them and is completely sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, she's a complete character foil for Mulan.
Yes.
Which is her purpose.
Of course. And it works very well.
Really well. I understand why they held back with the kung fu stuff. I wish they hadn't. But, I mean, you had people freaking out that they didn't have Mushu.
Yeah.
It's a completely different style.
I think the movie worked great without a weird Disney song.
Yeah, I like the historical accuracy they tried to pay. I understand that they didn't 100% pay historical accuracy.
Well, okay, so we're not Chinese.
No.
We're Canadian.
Yes.
But
well, and we're not even Chinese-Canadian.
No. Mulan is a legend, like they say, and trying to portray it as a Chinese legend stylized is a cool idea, but I think they missed a little bit.
Yeah.
It was not a useless remake. It was...
No, I enjoyed it as a remake. Is it on my list of, like, best movies I've seen this year? And it is, you know, well, we're recording this on the 16th. No.
Hmm.
Is it on my list of the worst movies I've seen this year? No.
No. Well, you did catch some Hallmark movies after New Year's.
That's true. We, like, kept it going.
Yeah, you kept it going.
Fair. That's fair. Okay. So that was the last one. 2020. It finally becomes wide release in December. Are you disappointed we didn't pay the $30 for it?
Oh, thank goodness we didn't pay the $30 for it. I would have been a little disappointed then. But watching it as part of your Disney Plus subscription... It's fine.
Yeah. I actually didn't have a problem with them releasing it as a premium thing.
No.
I mean, as long as they did eventually wide release it.
Yeah. Like, well, it's the video release time, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, they didn't intend to do that. They intended to release it in theaters. If you and I had gone to a theater to watch it, we would have spent more than $30.
I know, but it's a whole thing, so.
I understand it's a whole thing. I'm just saying, if you wanted to see it and you paid for it, I don't think it was a waste of money. We wanted to see it, but we weren't crazy to see it, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I would pay the $30 to see Black Widow.
Oh, yeah, I would, yeah.
But they're not releasing that on Disney Plus. They refuse to, so, yeah.
Who knows when for most of these.
Mm.
But I just wanted to run through very quickly the list of upcoming things. So, for theatrical release, they have announced Cruella coming out in 2021.
Emma Stone.
With Emma Stone, which actually is the one I'm most excited for.
Yeah.
I'm more excited to watch that than almost anything on this list. And it's not just because of how much I love Emma Stone. Then we have The Little Mermaid.
Davy Diggs is going to be Sebastian.
I'm so excited
That's good casting.
Right?
I don't know about the rest of the movie, but that's good casting.
I love The Little Mermaid. I was nervous when I saw that they were going to remake this. They announced Davy Diggs, and all of a sudden I want to see this movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so The Jungle Book and Lion King and Aladdin all have sequels in the works, all currently untitled. Unless we're doing an episode on it, we probably can skip these. Unless they cast someone amazing.
Yeah, I just, no. That's a money grab. Holy.
Okay, anyway. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs have one coming out. See, an old movie? Careful with this one, though. It is the original.
Yeah, but the Seven Dwarfs could be explored. It was supposed 100%. To be about them in the first place.
Oh, The Hunchback of Notre Dame has one. Rose Red. This is another Snow White one, specifically focused on, or maybe like a sequel for Snow White, We have a Bambi remake coming. I'm concerned about this.
Ooh, can we eat venison when we watch that?
That is terrible. No. And we have a Hercules one coming. Curious to see what they do with this, if they go with that, like, Motown style.
I am fine with them remaking Hercules. That seems, like, ripe for being remade.
Oh, 100%. I'm just curious to see if they go down that road or not.
Yeah.
All right. Then on Disney Plus, these are new remakes they're releasing exclusively to Disney Plus, not in theaters. There's a Peter Pan and Wendy one.
Hmm.
Pinocchio.
Oh, Tom Hanks is Geppetto.
That's right. They announced that during that investors call. That's exciting.
Ah, he's going to be a great Geppetto.
Well, has Tom Hanks ever done anything not well?
Not that I know of.
Exactly. Perfect Geppetto. Apparently, they had talked about it, and they stopped talking, and they re-talked and announced.
It's been rumors for years.
So long, exactly. We have a Sword in the Stone remake coming out. Talk about an old movie.
That will work as a remake if they do it right. Like, exactly. That has room to be a remake.
Exactly. Robin Hood.
That also has...
Yep.
I love Robin Hood, but... It is older.
Yeah.
And it is this weird, it's like, it feels like four episodes of a cartoon, Saturday morning cartoon,
okay,
rather than a stitched together movie.
I think Jungle Book suffers from the same problem.
Exactly.
Except
same.
Robin Hood was better done, in my opinion, than Jungle Book. But like, they're both super fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just fun to play in that world. We're not like remaking Hamlet here like we did with Lion King.
Yeah.
Okay. So after Robin Hood, we also have an untitled Aladdin spinoff. I don't know.
The Genie and the Handmaiden sitcom style.
Well, if they did it like WandaVision style, I'm in. And then we have a Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Possible projects that either have been projected or rumored or like strong rumors. Tinkerbell, Prince Charming, and an Aladdin prequel called Genies. Those are the three ones for there. So before we go to trivia, I have a question. What was your least favorite out of all the live actions? Let's go least favorite first, and then we'll end on a positive favorite note.
Well, this was a bit tough to choose.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a lot of garbage. But I have to be mean to the old gal on the block, and it's 101 Dalmatians.
I was gonna pick that.
It has not aged well. It was a very much a piece of its time. You got too many influences from big budget Hollywood.
Trying to do everything at once.
And apparently it did well enough to get a sequel somehow. It's so bad. Glenn Close has fun, but that's it. It is. You got really bad Home Alone vibes from the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And that like drug on, and it should have been the most exciting part of the movie. But yeah, it didn't age well. I think that's why they're doing Cruella, which is fine. It tried to appease too many people, so the story or storytelling didn't work. But the thing is, we said at the top of the show, Disney at the end of the day is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why they would want to do that. Hey, this movie did well. Let's include parts of it. Hey, this movie did well. Especially when they're adventuring out to do this thing that hadn't been done before. We still want to recoup some of our money. I don't know. People like Dumb and Dumber, so let's get the same actor, you know? So,
yeah. They were hedging their bets a lot on this, and it shows now.
I don't know that it showed then, but it really shows now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was my choice. I'm picking 101 Dalmatians, too. Everything was very meh for me. That one, while I was watching it, I kind of just wanted to laugh.
Yeah, I mean, it is rough.
Yeah. What would be your second least favorite? We're not going to rank them all. Because we both picked this one, I want to know what your another low one is.
I would probably go with Beauty and the Beast, just because the gap between the remake and the original is the biggest.
Okay.
I did, as much as you think I did, I didn't hate the remake.
Okay.
There was fun parts. I just didn't like all the added stuff, and the Beast kind of felt a lot weaker than he does in the animated.
Okay.
And that's a really important character.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just wasn't as good.
Okay. My second least favorite would be Aladdin. I didn't hate it. Like, most of these movies, honestly, are solid, like, yeah, it's fine. Parts of Aladdin, I actually love Jasmine, and I loved her song, and I loved the genie, and all of those things, but it needed some serious editing. It is the only one I almost fell asleep to, and so as a whole...
Yeah, it needed some editing, and... I mean, we both picked as our second worst. remakes that were like shot for shot with the full musical.
Very close, rather than a reimagining.
Yeah. So I think there's
remake remakes of like really good original pieces,
major classics.
Yeah,
we didn't pick Lion King because that one was done pretty well. It was still 100% unnecessary.
It was so beautifully done though, and the parts they changed were so like just fantastic little fun pieces. I didn't need to see it. Like, I didn't need to be redone. But I'm not, like, disappointed I watched it. Right. I'm not really disappointed I watched any of these, quite frankly. Like, I'm not as hard on them as you are.
Yeah.
Like, my least favorite, and even my second least favorite, I'm fine having watched them. I won't ever watch Aladdin again.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there's no reason.
Eh.
Just watch the original.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Eh. Well, okay. So what was your favorite then? Let's go more positively here.
My favorite, and I don't think there's any debate to be had here, but it was Jungle Book.
Yeah, me too.
Like
by far.
This was great. I would watch this over the original any day.
And I actually like the original.
Yeah. The original's fine,
mm-hmm.
but that was good.
That was, yeah.
And I think it's the only one on this list that I would ever watch again, period.
Okay. I can't see. I've seen two of these twice already, so I can't say that. But The Jungle Book was the best one.
Yeah,
it made the most sense to redo. It added tons to it, even though the story, some of it was shot for shot. Other parts of it, they like significantly changed by changing the ending. They significantly changed that story.
Oh yeah, completely different theme.
Exactly, and it was the one that had the most room to improve upon because of how it has aged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, in Dumbo they take out the crows and other elements. Like, that was a very cool retelling and everything, but this one, it was a fun story. It flowed well, the animation was fine, and yeah, I agree. This one I literally laughed out loud sometimes, and I was like invested. I may have shed a tear.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. So, but all of these I actually like just fine, but they're solid, like, meh for me.
Yeah, they're meh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so overall, what do you think in terms of live action remakes? Thumbs up, thumbs down, eh.
I would rather they do other things, but if this pays the bills so we can get some sweet Disney Plus Star Wars action, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, as an accountant, you appreciate the business model.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a business.
Yep. Well, the same thing we were talking about annual passes, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I understand why people are upset. It's still a business.
Yes.
Right? You keep making them to pay the bills.
Yeah.
To fund other projects. And even when Disney was alive, they'd do that. They'd throw out some things to make some money so they could fund other projects.
Yeah.
This is just what live action is to me. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Roy Disney move, not a Walt Disney move.
Right. Well, Walt did that too, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Question. If you were to, either one that has been made or one that's projected to be made or something completely different, if you wanted a live action remake of any animated Disney movie, which would you pick?
I would probably pick Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Robin Hood's been a story that's been told hundreds and hundreds of times.
That's why I'm surprised you picked that.
I would be curious to see if they could do it justice as a remake of that specific way that Robin Hood is told. I don't know. I think it would be tough.
Yeah.
I would like Wes Anderson to do it. I think that would be hilarious.
Keep the Fox?
Yes. That's what I'm thinking of. Fantastic Mr. Robin Hood.
Looking forward to see Hunchback, actually.
Yeah, I think that could work. I was super excited when Hunchback was announced and they were making it,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of just went meh.
I liked Hunchback. I can understand your concerns about that. For me, I just really, really enjoyed it. So I'm curious to see what they do with it. If they lean on the Victor Hugo novel or if they lean more on their retelling of it. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Curious about that one. That brings us to trivia time. So last week we had an At the Parks episode and you asked me some questions.
So I asked you what the first attraction added to Disneyland was after opening day. And you said,
what about, was the teacups?
No, I'm sorry. That's just not right.
No?
No.
Oh.
I mean, this was a tough one. There's a lot of things. You were close, actually, with the teacups more than you thought you were.
Uh-huh.
Because the second attraction added to Disneyland was Dumbo, which I kind of put in the same kind of category as like a smaller little attraction for kids.
Round and round,
stuff like that. But no, the correct answer is the Casey Jr. train.
I'm pretty sure teacups were an opening day attraction.
Yes, I think they were. Like they always wanted something from Alice in Wonderland. They wanted to walk through, stuff like
that. Yeah, they kept going walk through for a while. Okay, yes. You know what's hilarious? I had never heard this before, and I just remember when you asked the question, I was so excited to learn. Like, I have no idea, but I really want to know. Literally, like, the next day on one, I'm going on Disboards all the time on the forum about Disney, and we were talking about classic and historical rides and, like, must-dos, and someone said, oh, don't forget the Casey Jr. train. It only opened 2 weeks after. I was like, why wasn't I reading this yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, Walt loved trains, so they wanted
I don't know why I didn't think of this.
Yeah.
Honestly, I forget about Casey Jr. a lot.
I think a lot of people do. Yeah,
I really like the Storybook Land Canal float, and they're side by side, and
Yeah.
That's a good question. Kudos to you for a good question.
For once.
Yeah, exactly. You're due. Okay, question two.
So I wanted you to answer me what year Disney World opened, the first really big Disney expansion.
Yeah.
And name one of the many opening day attractions that they had in the Magic Kingdom. Yes.
October 1st, 1971, to be super specific. Country Bear Jamboree.
With much confidence.
But then you do this thing where you hesitate and I start to lose my confidence.
Well, you were pretty confident. You were absolutely correct. 1971, I mean, we had talked about the anniversary.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy math.
That was a gimme.
Even
I could do that math.
Yeah, and the Country Bear Jamboree was indeed an opening day attraction. And
it's still there,
unlike Disneyland.
Yeah,
so,
We'll have to go to Disney World. No, you don't, but I love the Country Bear Jamboree. Hey, it is the show that introduced me to Singin' in the Rain.
Singin' in the Rain's better.
Well, yeah, Singin' in the Rain's better than a lot of things in the world. Okay, question three.
I asked you what the last attraction, most recent attraction, added to Disneyland and Disney World, what were they?
Yeah, you went to both coasts with this question.
Yeah.
So Disney World was Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. There we go. Railway.
So that's Disney World.
Was Disney World. Disneyland would have been Rise of the Resistance.
And you're absolutely correct.
2 for 3. Hey, you got 2 for 3 on the last one, too. We're on a roll.
Or we're just asking easier questions.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know. But yes, Rise of the Resistance in Disneyland was the most recent. They were having occupancy troubles with it and boarding passes and all that, and we were really excited to go on
We were so excited. We had like plan on where we were gonna stand to try and get the boarding.
Mickey's Runaway Railroad in Disney World opened like mere days before everything shut down in March.
We watched a couple of our favorite YouTubers head there for the opening, and then they came back, and it was like a week later, maybe at most.
And then Disneyland was closing, and they were told to stay in their houses, and
And like a week ago, we were traveling across the country. That's crazy.
So,
yeah.
Good job. I mean, that was recent history, so you should probably know that, but good job anyway.
2 for 3.
Yeah.
Let's see if you do as well.
Probably.
From these ones.
Probably
okay,
not.
All the questions are, of course, live action focused.
Oh, good.
Question number one.
Nothing obscure to come from that.
Nope, nothing at all. So, question number one. In the live-action Aladdin, Jasmine's friend and handmaiden is named Dahlia. What is her name in the animated original?
I don't even remember a handmaiden from the animated original. That's how big she was. Her name was Steve.
Oh, that's a progressive name.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's a silly question.
I knew the answer.
Good for you.
The original Beauty and the Beast doesn't explain what happened to Belle's mother. In the remake, how does her mother die?
In childbirth.
You said that with confidence. Oh, no, you're shaking your head. There was no confidence.
I don't know. I watched this movie on a plane and I was mostly just scowling about the stupid additions to it.
Oh, I didn't mind. Okay, so anyway, childbirth is your answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Question number three. Which is the first live-action remake to get a PG-13 rating in the United States? It stayed PG in Canada, but in the States it got PG-13.
The Lion King? I don't know. There was some violence in that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay, so you've got Steve, childbirth, and the Lion King. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think your Steve answer is correct.
You don't know that.
That's true.
Could be her English name.
That's true.
She's in Agrabah.
If you have a suggestion that isn't Steve for any of those, be sure to message us on our Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook accounts.
As an alternative, you could send in better questions.
These are fantastic questions. I knew the answer to all of these. I don't know what you're whining about.
Okay, that's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who is responsible for our awesome custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can also find us on social media, Instagram at DisneyA Podcast, on Facebook at DisneyA, and Twitter at DisneyA Podcast. We love to hear from you. You can find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please review our podcast and subscribe.
And then we'll read your review on the air.
Probably, unless it's mean, and then I'll just cry.
That's true. That is true. We'll read the nice ones. No, we'll read them. I think we could read mean ones, too.
Yeah, I mean, don't actually be mean for no reason, but whatever. We can take it. We have thick skin.
You know, I don't know. You insulted Beauty and the Beast.
Dangerous water sound. I really like the original. Okay, come on. You can also listen to Disney AA on Magic of the Mouse Radio. Magic of the Mouse Radio. On Mondays.
Yes.
At 4 p.m. Eastern. With replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 4. You can listen to the Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Garden Radio, and other radio station apps.
Cool.
Next week, we're heading back to Disney Plus for our first Decades episode in a while.
Well, Christmas happened, and I wanted to do all the Christmas-themed episodes.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get back to those decades, yes, yeah. And this time we're going to be talking about the 1940s.
It was a surprisingly big year for some classics now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Disney hit its stride in the 40s,
yeah,
you might say.
Well, you know, there's some conjecture about that. We'll chat.
So join us then. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. So until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney AA.